Well, once again, on a Thursday morning, it is time for Real News with Brian Ross. Brian joins us on just about every single Thursday morning, and we take a look at some of the stories that are out there and about there. And once again, at the top of the list, we have to go, Brian, to the Ukraine. There's really no sign, according to NATO and according to the United Nations, of the de-escalation that the Russians had claimed. And, you know, it's interesting. I think a lot of people look at the Ukraine as a tiny little nation. Well, compared to Russia, it is. But when you overlap the Ukraine on the United States, it takes up about a quarter of the United States. So this is a very, very, very interesting situation that Putin has put Russia, the European Union, Ukraine, and the United States in.
Absolutely, Marshall, and good to be with you as always. You know, according to the estimates I've seen from U.S. military experts, the fact is, even with 150,000 troops or whatever he has around, he doesn't have enough really to invade and hold Ukraine. So one of the questions is, what's he really up to? And nobody really has a clue, and maybe not even Putin himself.
It's, you know, I think so many people think of the little countries, like when they went into Crimea. Well, Crimea is just a little portion. People tend to overlook the fact that that the Ukraine is a large country, and it's going to be a very interesting way to see how everybody gets out of this without everybody getting involved with soldiers in war. It's going to be one of those, I think, key news stories that will definitely mark the 2022 calendar.
Absolutely. And the cat and mouse game is afoot, and no one's really quite sure who's the cat and who's the mouse, whether Putin's got himself into a corner he can't get out of. And I think one of the things that American diplomats are trying to do is to give him an off-ramp so that some way he can not completely lose all a face in these negotiations. He wants something. It's not clear what he wants. But if it was an effort just to take a small part of Ukraine, I think that President Biden and other European leaders have spoken pretty clearly that even a small incursion crosses a line.
And we haven't even touched on the financial ramifications for the rest of the world and Russia as well, on top of the military and prestige applications.
Without a doubt, the pipeline, which is so important to his economy and frankly to the economy of Germany and other European countries, but the ability to be part of the international banking system, all of that is, you know, he's putting that on the line. You wonder just what he has in mind. We know he sort of feels like Mother Russia needs to be back to what it once was before the fall of the Soviet Union. But even so, so far his gambit has not paid off, and he's looking for a way out of it, I think.
Yeah, it's one of those stories that that's going to be very interesting to follow, whether you're just a plain person that follows the news or if you're a political science junkie. Speaking about finances, though, the story that keeps coming back over and over, and I think that the accounting issues now with Donald Trump, with the firm that did the accounting saying that those figures might be unreliable, that opens up another whole can of worms in the New York investigation into Donald Trump's organization, the Trump Organization, and him in person.
Clearly, they have thrown him under the bus. Mr. Trump has said in a statement that they were intimidated into doing it. They didn't want to do it. But it's clear to anybody who looks at all this that they understood they've got to make this statement if they want to avoid any liability, civil or criminal. The walls are closing in on the Trump financial organization. I was down in New York this week and actually went by into the Trump Tower. I was just curious what's happening there. The place is empty, and the Trump Grill, the downstairs part where there's a little ice cream parlor and a pizza thing and an open restaurant. Oh, but nobody was in there. The shop selling the Trump paraphernalia, completely empty. And I was reading in the New York Times last week and over the weekend how he went to some kind of a supposed fundraiser just before Christmas, black tie and all, and people paid $10,000 to $30,000, except it wasn't a fundraiser for political purposes. According to the Times, he was doing it just to put the money into his account. That's not something a person worth $4 to $8 billion does. It sounds like he's got a serious cash flow issue.
And I think he's getting a serious issue also with the Republican Party. We now we know that there's a split between DeSantis in Florida and Liz Cheney and some Republicans and other Republicans now speaking out, even Lindsey Graham. But now the person that he backed for the U.S. senator and governor is now really losing steam. And it appears that if this is going to be a test case for the tolerance of GOP voters with Donald Trump, this might be a stunner for Donald Trump.
It could well be. In fact, we should look at both sides, because the CNN poll that came out this week was very telling. Most Republicans don't want Donald Trump, and not quite, but a good chunk of Democrats don't want Joe Biden. Maybe neither party really wants a person in their 70s or 80s to be running for president. It's time for some new blood is what I'm hearing.
You know, it's interesting you say that, and that's what makes the 2020 midterms even though the party out of power always gains an advantage. But this year, there's a lot of wild cards that go into it that you know, it might not turn out to be that way. Maybe there won't be a huge swing. Maybe it'll stay 50-50 like it's been.
Yeah, I'm always skeptical of the so-called Washington conventional wisdom that it has to be this way. I don't know if that's always true. I mean, and that's why, you know, that's why it's so interesting to be in the news business, to actually watch what is going to happen as opposed to trying to predict what's going to happen based on past results.
And one thing leads to another. Poor Prince Charles now, of course, he had his settlement. But now
Prince Andrew.
Yeah, pardon me.
Yeah, it's the son of Prince Charles, who I guess is on the verge of becoming king, with his wife Camilla set to become the queen, apparently. But the royal family is really being rocked by the Prince Andrew scandal. The estimates of $12 to $14 million was the settlement, and that the young woman who was, she says, was trafficked to him as a teenager has no sort of non-disclosure. She's free to continue to talk about it and write about it. And are there other women who are going to come out of the woodwork now with this guy? He's really in total disgrace.
Yeah, and that casts other doubts over. It's so funny, because the royal family is such a part of the UK, of England, there's always been a segment of the population that has not been in favor of the royal family. It puts the royal family into the spotlight in a way that. One door opens and another one shuts. It's a very interesting thing to watch what's happening, not only here in the United States, but in countries across the world, how these major power brokers are now under the spotlight.
Absolutely. You know, the monarchy is absolutely a relic of the past, but it's good for the traditions in England, I guess, good for tourism. People go to see the castle and all the pomp and circumstance that surrounds the comings and goings of the royals. But they understand, and certainly the Queen Elizabeth understands, that they need a public support at the end of the day to continue to exist.
All right. And the latest story, of course, out of U.S. intelligence, Russian hackers have collected intelligence from American defense contractors. You know, this is an old story. I think every country now is so involved in other countries' computer systems. And it all goes back to something that the United States started many, many years ago. Really, I mean, I don't think this comes as a surprise to anybody.
It really is not. You know, the notion of privacy is an outdated concept, it seems. The more that we give away our favorites, our locations, our numbers to the internet to do business, privacy is also another, it seems, sadly, I'd say, but it seems to be a relic of the past, too.
And the Ahmaud Arbery killers are now going on trial again. This time it's a federal hate crime trial.
Right. And that you can see the outcome there. They're already facing life behind bars for the murder of Mr. Arbery, a young man who just, all his crime was to be black and jogging in their community. You know, there's a sense there, I think, that there is justice at long last for people of color, that, you know, people can't get away with that kind of just wanton killing of somebody.
And let's go to the World Olympic Committee. Which is now almost as in as much disgrace as the World Soccer Organization was years ago. The Olympic figure skater that didn't test positive for one banned substance, but three banned substances, has been allowed to skate because of her age. This has once again put a horrible tarnish on what the Olympic Games were and should be.
Right. And you, your heart sort of goes out to her. She's a kid. They gave her something and she didn't know what it was, but she took it. And if it enhanced her performance, that's not fair to everybody else. And, you know, you can see in the coverage from NBC and the top American experts, certainly, that she just shouldn't be skating as good as she is. It's tragic that this happened. But the fact the committee's allowing her to skate, you know, as you say, puts a very dark shadow over these Olympic Games.
All right. And I have to go locally, which surprised me when I broke the story yesterday, in nearby Saugerties, New York. A girl that's been missing for 2 years was found in a small little room with a woman after a 2 year search. She was taken to the police station. This is just a story that hits home simply because it's only a few miles away.
Absolutely. And under a staircase in a hidden room with her so-called custodial mother. What a crazy story. It seems like something you'd see in a movie, not in real life. And yet here it is in our backyard.
You know, well, it's one of those stories that you just said. You don't even, if you see it in a movie, you wouldn't believe it. And you wouldn't believe also that the police in Saugerties made a horrendous mistake 2 years ago when they followed up on a false lead that they found out from the police agency that where the girl supposedly was, that never was a lead. And that finally led to someone actually finding the girl. But so close to home, you know, we live in such a small world now. Normally, the internet makes it smaller, but it really does happen in your backyard. It opens your eyes even more.
It does. And you wonder, who are your neighbors? Who are these people you think you knew and you don't?
Well, it's interesting out there. It's going to be very interesting to see when we talk next week what happens in the Ukraine and what happens with Donald Trump and what happens with the January 6th committee and more. There's just so many big stories that are
absolutely. And, you know, and I think the big question for me is, you know, is Rudy Giuliani truly, really, really cooperating with the January 6th committee? If so, he knows a lot. You know, Marshall, it's interesting. Every Thursday we think, well, maybe we'll have a quiet week. We haven't had one in a long time.
No. All right, Brian, have a good week. We'll speak to you next week.
You bet.